So this topic is Chasov Shia V'Sofo V'Ones. So let's start from Ayin Chet with our Gemara, and we'll get into the discussion based on that. So here we go. There are two, I think, conflicting implications from the Gemara Ayin Chet in regard to the question that a lot of this thing is based on, which is, even if you think Chasov Shia V'Sofo V'Ones is Chayiv, is it always the case? Or do we say no, that there has to be some sort of relationship between the Ones and the Shia? So if you look in the Mishnah itself, it says, Hasocher esachamor l'alicha v'har l'alicha v'veka v'veka v'alicha v'har afilu zuas reminu zuas reminu mesa chayav. So the ratio of the Mishnah seems like at the very disobedience to the owner of the chamor results in the socher being chayav, regardless of what happens to the animal in the Bika or in the Har, and that's the discussion in the Gemara. Okay? And then in the second half, it's Sokhar Sachamor, Lalicha Bahar, Lalicha Bavika, and Machlika Potter, and Machlika Machai, Lalicha Bavika, Lalicha Bahar, and Machlika Machai. It's more likely that an animal will slip and fall and get damaged or killed on a mountain, and therefore, if your disobedience results in the animal slipping and falling, and then you're reliable if it on the mountain. If it doesn't, if it dies another way on the mountain, then you are not Chayiv. And vice versa on the Bika. We have the Gemara. So, and then regarding the first part of the Mishnah, so the Gemara says, "Ma'ishin Reisha lo kamafling, ma'ishin eita kamafling." Why in the Reisha you don't differentiate as to how the animal dies? You're this hive. Why in the Sefer do we differentiate? So now the Gemara gives a bunch of different answers. On the Rabbi Reisha shemaisa machmas avi. It died. Rihanna says, "Well, because in the Reisha, it died because of the air." We say that the avir of the mountain killed it, and we say that the avir of the valley killed it. That's what we say. So the case is that it died because of fatigue, and Rabba Amar Kagonche Kishanachash, a snake bit it. So Tosos and Al Rishonim point out that these are really opposite implications. I mean, which makes sense, because the Reisha and Sefer are sort of closer to each other, right? But the point is, in the Reisha, it sounds like you don't need a very, very compelling reason to assume that you are liable, right? It's hard to argue that any of these three answers of the Gemara are clear results of your decision to take it to a different type of terrain. Certainly the last one, right? Is it really because I brought it to a mountain and the snake bit it? You know, are snakes really more frequent on mountains? Clearly, it could be the other way too, right? Mm-hmm. So certainly in that case, I guess with the avir, it might be based on the terrain, but, you know, if you didn't switch, for instance, if I just brought my animal to a mountain and we think it died because of the avir, it's unlikely that that would be Shia. It's only because I disobeyed the directions and I brought it to the mountain that we're saying Avira the Harkala. So that's one implication. One implication is it doesn't really make a difference. As long as you disobey the instructions, that will be mechayev you. On the other hand, the Seifa clearly indicates that that is not so. When you bring your animal to a Bika against the instructions of the owner, but it dies in a way that doesn't seem to be symptomatic of that terrain, you're exempt. Right? If it slips in the Bika, you're good. So, why? Right? What do you mean? You disobeyed the instructions. Doesn't matter how it dies, I thought. So we have these opposite implications from our Gemara as to whether or not we only hold you liable for an occurrence which naturally flows from your negligence in taking care of this animal. So in that vein, we go to the main discussion of the Sugya, which is on Lam Vav Amud Aleph. I don't know if I brought for you in this, but so let's just, we also think, well, let's take it outside for a second. So here's Machlokes Abayin Rava about Pasha Bav Yatzal Agam Misa, right? The animal, you were negligent. Just note the three things that happened in the Gemara. You were negligent, it left the Agam, and then it died naturally. Right. Abaye says, even though we have an argument on Menbez and Menalith about whether Tchlasa Vashiyah Vesof of Onis is Chayav, here everybody will be agreed that you're Chayav because Havla de Agmatala. And then Rava says back, no, the opposite. Even though we have machlokas and menbiz and aleph about tchlasa v'shiva sobonis, that's in that case. But here, everybody will agree that you are pater because machamach mayach mayasa. So what we need to do then is determine what actually differentiates according to each opinion between menbiz and aleph and lam vav.
Just yeah. Over here, isn't mesa kadarka usually even more makel than onis?
Mesa kadarka is just onis.
I always understood there was onis, and then like mesa kadarka is even.
No.
No, I think mesa kadarka is regular onis. I think mesa machamas malacha.
Isn't that what mesa kadarka?
No, mesa kadarka means just dies naturally.
Okay. But not bedafka machamas malacha.
Okay.
Actually, bedafka, but not machamas malacha.
Okay, I thought it was. I thought it was the same
thing. If it was machamas malacha, then it really depends whether you have the permission to use it or not. But anyways,
if it was Mesa Machmas Malacha, that would be, it doesn't even matter if you were to Tfilas Vuchia?
Depends who you are. If you're a Shoal or a Sofer, then you'll probably be Pater. I don't know. It's interesting. I'm saying if you were Poshea first, I don't know. It's interesting.
There's a Machlokas by Shoal, and we Paskin that it is. What? You are Pater. By a Shoal.
If you're
Poshea,
and then it was Mesa Machmas Malacha.
We don't know anything about Pshia. I'm saying only Machlokas, only by a regular Shoal.
About Mesa Machmas Malacha?
Yes.
That's not Machlokas. Shoal's Pater.
I thought there's a machlok going to be positive.
I don't think so. Anyways, but that's not what we're talking about. Let's see if another time. So how would Abai and Rabba differentiate between the case of Membez and Madalaf and the case of Alam Levav and Membez? So Abai says, let's think for a second. What does Havla Da'ag Maktala mean? There are three possibilities mentioned in Yishonah for Havla Da'ag Maktala means, and based on that, really to get determined how Abaye understands the opinion of Tlas Hoshiva Sobonis Hayav and Tlas Hoshiva Sobonis Pater. So, one opinion is that Tlas Hoshiva Sobonis Hayav, how the Agma Tala means that it is, let's get it both extreme, it is A, it's completely Pshia. That bringing it to the Agma was Pshia. Because the Havla, the heat of the, the meadow killed it. Okay, Hava da Agma Tala. So it's Pshia. And then we have a very easy way to differentiate between the case of Mambiz and Ra'av and the case of Lambavambiz. Lambavambiz is a case of Pshia. That's what Abai is essentially saying. You were Poshea by bringing it to the Agam. On Mambiz and Aleph, that wasn't Pshia because since you, again, the case being where you take your Kesef, or the Kesef, and you put it in the Tshufa de Urbani, the birdhouse. So that wasn't Shia. You did a good job watching it, at least in terms of preventing it from being stolen. And then there was an onis. This is complete Shia. It's Shia to bring an animal to an agam because that is the Hava da Amitala. That is one way of reading this. It might be that Rashi thinks this. I'm not 100% sure. Right? Rashi says, if you look on the base, I don't know if you have it in front of you, it says, El Hasam Leka Pshia Selling in Yerba Haka, Ikla Memar Pshia Mesa, Shemai Savais, Lo Mesa. Okay, so a little bit, maybe it's like otherwise, but you could argue that it's simply Pshia. Now, in terms of the text of the Gemara, it should then follow that the case is La Dafka, right? Pashaba v'yatzas la'agam.
You don't need the Pashaba.
It doesn't need the Pashaba. It should be that if you bring it to the Agam and you don't leave it, you know, vulnerable, you'll still be chayav because bringing it to an agam is pshia. In fact, Meir quotes such a shita that you would indeed be chayav if you had brought it to the agam, right? Now that's weak. It's a weak read of the Gemara because it says pshia b'yotz to the agam. But that is one way of reading this, and that you have a pretty easy way to distinguish between this case and our case. And what ends up happening is Abai and Rav are essentially sound like they're arguing about, you know, how lethal the hevel in the agam really is. The other extreme,
they're not necessarily arguing about how needle it is. The Shema, Rashi says, because of Shema.
Well, it's Rashi. I'm not sure. Right. But if you, that is the Shema part of Rashi. I don't know if he's really saying it's Pshia because of Shema.
Right.
Meaning that might be the middle category. Right. Well, I'll get to it in a second. So the flip side of that, the flip side is to say that it's not all Pshia. It's an onyx. Hava da Amar Tola is still a complete onyx. So then, but that, and I think that makes sense. That's why I talk about Pasha Lo Yotz Lagam. This is specifically because it's a type of Tchlas Hoshiyah Ksoba Onis. That you're Chayav. If that's the case, then we need to differentiate. Why then do we, why is the man of Amra Tchlosso Shiva so funny is Pater Poter you on Mibiz Manalik and Machayev you on Lama Vav Mibiz? What's the difference between Sri Fida Urbani and Pashva Yotzas La'aga? And the answer, so one way of answering that, there are two ways of answering that you could suggest, but one, I think the simple way is, and the Rosh Mishan says, that Abaye is claiming that the machlokas on Mabez is only in a case where the ones is machmas abshia. When the ones is machmas abshia, then we have machlokas. Sorry, let me take this for a step back. The case of Mabez Amar Aleph is when the ones is not machmas abshia. That's what the Rosh Mishan says. And he says, it is totally not your fault. When you put in the Tshiva to Irvini, that is a good shmira, completely, le'inyan ganvi. And the onus had nothing to do with the fact that you did that. That was just a total freak accident, or totally not liable for that. And that's when it's not machmas abshia, we have an argument whether or not l'asav shia v'sof b'onus chayev or pater. And the Mandam or Chayev holds, even when it's not Machmas Abshia, even when it's not related to your neck negligence, nothing to do, it was only a problem insofar as it might have gotten burned, is not a problem whatsoever in terms of making it susceptible to getting stolen. We don't think that burying it underground is any more effective in preventing robbery than putting it in a Tzivit Arvani. That's when the one Mandam or holds Pater. Because, look, even though you were Poshea and you didn't protect it, and we'll think about the concept behind this in a second, but even though you were Poshea, in regard to Nuro, what does that have to do with what actually happened to it? They're not related. But the Manda Amr that holds, Chasor Shira Silva Ones Chayav, holds even in the case where they're not related. And everybody agrees, if they are related, if it is Machmas Abshia, then you will be Chayav. That's what Abai is saying.
So that would...
Yeah. Rosh Hashanah and the Shnei Mikvaim.
So, saying that we pass on that we pass on
no.
It's just a buy.
This is explaining a buy.
Buy holds that like more as well. Nafka, Rava would hold that it's not machmas abshia.
Rava would then hold. Well, Rava seems like he's pretty clear, right? Rava seems like he holds it. No, that that the only argument in the case of machmas abshia, also have to argue about the understanding of that case.
Right.
Right? Yeah, that's what comes out. Rava, but I think that that's, and basically that's what comes out. Rava says, no, Shiva Urvani is Mahmas Abshia. Because, yes, because you, presumably because you could have buried underground. And that's Mahmas Abshia, which is kind of interesting. Conflict. And this is not Mahmas Abshia, and then everybody agrees you're not. Sounds like it.
Right.
Sounds like
so. Getting back to the case which you brought this in for, of bringing the animal to the agam yourself.
Okay, good.
According to Rosh Hashanah, sounds like you'd for sure be chayav then.
You brought it to yourself?
Yeah.
No, you should be pater. Why? How long was the kol as an onis?
Oh, meaning we're not assuming that that's.
No, that's an onis.
Okay,
that's the whole point.
That has nothing to do with what he's saying, though.
Rosh Hashanah's whole point is that it's an onis.
Meaning that really has nothing to do with the question then.
Which question?
Of bringing it to the agam yourself.
The Rosh Mishans think that from the Gemara, it sounds like you're certainly putter in a case where you bring it to the agam yourself. Correct?
How does he get that? That's what I'm asking.
Because that's the Pasha
Biyot. So he's
the
Dayak
that
from the Gemara.
Yeah.
And based on that, he builds the argument that...
So then that, well, if when you bring it there, you're putter, so then it must be an onus.
Correct. But that is no connection to the way you...
Well, if it's an onus, well, it does, because if it's an onus, then what's the difference between this case and the case of Membeis? If they're both fully chasso shiva sober onis, why Membeis is the manda amar says chasso shiva sober onis pater? Meaning, if the manda amar says chasso shiva sober onis pater, if this is the case of chasso shiva sober onis, he should say pater. So why is the Abaye saying have the angmatala if it's a complete onis?
Even to the opinion.
Even to the opinion which says generally chasso shiva sober onis pater.
Right.
And the answer is, well, when we said it's a totally different way of looking at it, no, chasso shiva sober onis pater doesn't mean generally. It means in a case where it's not machmas abshia. But if it is Mamas Abshia, even then on the Amr holds there.
That's
that you are
here. Okay.
Exactly.
Just
okay.
A roundabout way to get it.
Yeah. The middle Shita in terms of Havada Amitala is that of Tosos Harash and the Ritva. And I think this is really what Rashi is saying, which is this is somewhere in the middle. This idea that it's not a complete onis, but it also is a quote-unquote complete Shia. And I think the reason for that is that one Lashon in the Shini Gavessas is that it's not Bar Hazeka, meaning it's not clear that your decision would cause such a damage, but once it happened, we can look back and say it's likely that that your act of negligence in being irresponsible while watching the animal caused it. So, and that's a really interesting idea. What they have, what they say is that you have middle categories where Shia, although it won't implicate you for Onsin necessarily, the Ritva will say, the Ritva holds very strong that it's only your, everybody agrees you won't be chayav for Tchaso Shiva Sofa Ones if the Ones is not Machmas of Shia. So Shia won't make you chayav for all Onsin, but it does, once you are Poshea, then we will be machayav you for Onsin, which we could presumably tie to your negligence. So what, and I mean the point to make it clear, if you brought it to the Agam, that's not negligence. Bringing it to an Agam is not negligence. You're watching it the whole time. And since you weren't negligent, we won't, you know, the chazaka, so to speak, is with you. We won't be mechayev you for and assume that it died because of the hava of the Agam. Once you're poshea, it changes the chazaka in a sense. Then you're already sort of implicated because you were negligent. And therefore, when we're misupik about whether or not your shmira caused the death of the animal, the chazak is against you, and you are chai. So it's sort of in the middle, which is, you know, I think maybe we'll get to the second half of this. Generally, this is like is an important category. We have cases where it's not quite onis, it's certainly not quite shia. And then if you are poshea in a normal way, meaning you do full fledged shia before, and then we'll mechai you.
The Rosh explains it very well.
What did you just say? He does. He says about that was corner.
Actually, yeah. If anyone wants to look at it.
I think it was those Rosh Riva. I don't know. Yeah. Very well is relative. I think he does a good job of saying
it. Clear.
I just think conceptually. So, taking a step back then, I think we've shown that we do have a number of opinions here regarding whether or not you need the Ones to Machlokes of Shia, and I'll just mention maybe the big Machlokes, which is between Tosfos and the Rif, where Tosfos says that even Abaye holds that it needs to be Machmas of Shia, and the Rif argues and says no, that according to Abaye, you're chayiv even when the Ones is not Machmas of Shia, and that's what he means by Havla Agmatala. And the difference is when Abaye says Hava da Agmatala, does he mean, and that's why you're chayav even if you generally hold putter, or Hava da Agmatala, and that's why you're chayav at all, even if you held Tchaso Shiva So Bone is chayav, you also need Hava da Agmatala. Why would you not need the Ones Timahmas of Shia in order to be chayav in the case of Tchaso Shiva So Bone? So, taking a step back even further, what is the machlokas? What is the opinion Tchaso Shiva So Bones hold? Why ultimately are you chayav? Right? Generally, you're a putter for onsin. Why does the fact that you were poshea implicate you for an onis? So I think generally there are two ways, general approaches you can take to explain that. One is to explain that Shia is a machayev in and of itself. That the very minute that you are poshea, you are already chayev to the owner of the animal.
Even if nothing happens?
Well, if nothing happens, this is what Rabbi Reuven says. I'll read you Rabbi Reuven writes over here. Here we go. If you look at Rabbi Reuven, he says as follows. The Netziyana Bahar just Shomer Chayiv of Shia. In Maisab Shia Shapasha Shomer Bishirasho, Zehu Gufa Menchayvo, La Shomer Tashun Bigadon. This is the first page of the source sheets, right? That if the Maisa Habshia, sort of, I think, a bit of a, in, inaccurate term because Misa of Shia, it's all from Shia, is an e-Misa. It didn't do something, but fine. Is the Shia itself that the Shomer was negligent in his watching of the object. That in and of itself obligates him to pay for the Bikadon. Even if the Bikadon, even if nothing happens. Ella she'im ein has a Bikadon who omer lo arish achov v'nacha. If nothing happens to the Bikadon, he says, okay, I'm chayev to you, here it is, take your Bikadon. Oh, d'chi b'shia hainu shu chayev al hezek she'naseh b'shia. Right? Or is the point that you're chayev because of the hezek. Pshia is mechay of you, but when hezek happens and you were poshea, we say it was your fault. So, on a simple level, you could say that the machlokas between whether or not you need the ones to be machmas pshia depends on this very question. Is it, when we say chas of pshia v'sofo mechayev, are we being mechayev you for the pshia in and of itself? Or no, we're saying that in the case where you were poshea, even though ones is normally putter, when you are poshea, ones is chayev. So what I want to do now is go back and try to explain both of those options a bit more clearly, and then decide whether or not that's the only way to take a stab at this machlokas between Tosos and the Rif about whether or not you need the ones to mount sabshia. So, taking a stab, I think Rabbi Reuven's pshat is the most. If you assume that you're chayiv because of the pshia in and of itself, I think what you're essentially saying is, as Rabbi Reuven said, and maybe the echo is the Rambam, that pshia is a type of chayiv, it's mazik. You could explain it also in terms of your agreement as a shomer, right? Shomer is a sort of relationship between the shomer and the person who gives the thing to the shomer, and you could argue that. The agreement is, if you are poshea, you are chayiv. Right, just like if you rented a car. You could argue that...
Even if something were to not happen.
The point is that, yeah, you were poshea, you're chayiv.
You're right
into the contract that if you are negligent... What? So the opposite, you're going to pay if whatever happens. Okay,
fine. So if nothing happened, then you're fine.
Because you can give it back. But because you can give it back. Not because you weren't... Not because nothing...
You're not high.
Not because you're not high.
Jay had a good question yesterday that if this case of Shomer Sachar, do you still have to pay him?
Who? The Sachar?
The Shomer. We talked about this briefly, but it's not our section.
Wait.
Oh,
okay. Do you pay the Shomer Sachar?
Shomer Sachar, who was Poshea in the guarding, but he didn't actually... Nothing actually happened.
Did you pay him yet? If you haven't paid him yet?
Yeah.
I mean, you probably deduct the salary from what he has to pay you.
Yeah, but let's say he paid you for the animal.
He paid you for... All right,
no,
so
you're
again,
paying him
that's a different question.
Shomer Sachar. He doesn't get to use it, and you saying, guard my laptop for 2 hours, and I just leave. And I don't actually guard it, but nothing happens to it. So that's complete Poshea, but nothing... There's no...
You're saying I didn't even do any shmira.
I didn't do anything, yeah.
You're asking about the pay the Shomer Sachar? That's a question.
I was completely poshea, but there's no hesed.
So I, on a simple level, like in a normal case, it would depend upon the agreement, right? But I actually kind of think you might have to pay them because, like,
is that what you when you give something to a Shomer?
But I think it's
sure
like
there's no hesed or to guard it.
I don't know if like, the question is the salary to the Shomer Sachar contingent upon anything really. or are you simply saying I'm paying you? No, watch it. Like I don't know if the pay is contingent upon him actually doing shmira. I'm not sure. You'd think it would be.
Right.
You think it would be, but like you might be saying the way shomer sachar works is you pay the guy and then like you know that's how it works. And then whatever happens, that I don't know if a shomer sachar is like a normal employee, but it's a good question. I'm not sure. So. I think that might be one way of explaining it. The point is that if the agreement is, like, if you're poshea, that's on you. I don't care what happens next. You're poshea. How would you explain the other way? So I think there are a number of ways, and we saw a number of ways we did this originally. The Ramban says that, essentially, it's like almost like a quasi-Rabbi Meir, who I guess we'll talk about soon, that when you are poshea, then you, it's nasei spirishuso. It becomes under your jurisdiction. Just like someone who steals, the Rashba also makes that equation, just like someone who steals, if I steal your object, then whatever happens to it from the moment that I steal it, it's my responsibility. So too, when I'm poshea, whatever happens to the object, it's my responsibility. That's one way of saying it. I'll just read it inside. Do I have it here? I thought I had a... The time of the Bai Hasan Mishnah Nechol Shech Lasso B'Shia, it's the top of the second page. Mishah Shepaseba Nasis B'Rishuso L'Eschayev Aleha B'Chol Einin Afilu Mesa Gadar. The time that you're negligent, that you... It becomes part of your jurisdiction. It's an interesting question. You think that Gazlanus... Like, Gazlan's a bit different. Because when you steal something, you get a certain... opinion on that thing. You acquire it to some degree, and then, you know, you break it, you bought it. So you stole it, you bought it. Meaning now it's your responsibility. You stole it. Shia is not quite the same way, but I think it could be like a Shoal, in the sense that, you know, just like a Shoal, you've done someone something to Shoal, they take responsibility over it, because they're getting it for nothing. So when you're Poshea, part of that is you, as a Shomer, saying, if I'm Poshea, I accept whatever happens. I accept the responsibility. So I think the point though is though, it's not that you're chayiv from the time you're poshea. You're not chayiv yet, but you, whatever happens, you're accepting responsibility that you will be chayiv for it. And maybe we'll just illustrate the difference between those two points later. That's one option. The Maharal and the Baal Itzer have a very interesting way of taking this. What they say is as follows. Essentially, when you're a poshea, the question, we should be mechayev you for whatever is connected to your pshia. So they say that opinion that chalasu pshia v'sof bo'onis chayev holds that we can be mitzarif the onis to the pshia. Meaning it's as if you were poshea on everything. Well, I'll just read you the words here. He says, first we have the Maharal. Right? That we say that it was as if everything was done by Pshia. So I think the idea is that Pshia is it implicates your whole Shmira. Meaning, you had to watch this animal from multiple occurrences. When you're poshea for one, it infects the entire shmira. This shmira is now a shmira b'pshia. And then everything that happens is considered just part of that shmira b'pshia. And then the last, the Rav, who says that essentially the Ptor Ones is contingent upon you doing a good job watching the object. You're not just Tatar from Ones. It's not just like, in any case, you'd say Ones Rahman Apatre. It's a specific tor to a shomer that the shomer says, if I do a good job watching it, I fulfill my obligation to watch this animal that I have accepted upon myself, then I am Tatar from Onsen. But if you do not, then you are high of Onsen. Again, you're high because of the Ones. But the tor Ones doesn't apply to someone who is negligent in his fear of Shmira. So those are all ways of, I think, saying that. Now, taking a step back, if you take any of these approaches, I think it's very easy to understand why, even if the onus is not mahmas pshia, which is what they're arguing, they'll be chayav. It doesn't, in a chanam, you're chayav because of the onus, but the pshia gets rid of your Torah onus. Either because we don't really look at it as an onus, halachically, right? Halachically, legally, it's not considered an onus because of a connection to the pshia, or because you're just chayav in everything that happens after your poshea, or because it is an onis, but you're not pater from onis. You're chayav from onis because you have been negligent in your chiyuv shmira. Only a shomer who fulfills his chovas shmira is pater from onis. Not one who doesn't. So these are all, again, if Reuven said the chakir is, are you chayav from mishas pshia or not? I'm arguing that you can hold that you don't need the onus to be, even if you hold that you're chayav when the onus is not machmas pshia, you can still say the shas chiyuv is shas onus. It's just that pshia makes you chayav for that onus. Right, okay. So that those are all a number of perspectives in terms of understanding that. On the flip side, you why would you say that you are only a chayiv mishas onis? So the simple way to explain it, why would you need to be the onis of mamas of Shia? I think the simple way to explain it is what the Rif says. Right? What the Rif says is, he has a whole long arichas, but what he says is that when do we say you're pater from onsin? When there's nothing that you should have done. And we could say, my havel elamebah. We look at the Shomer and say, they did everything they should have done, and yet the animal died. What could they have done? Essentially, onis rachmana patre, and it's not your fault. However, if we can say that there is something that you should have done that would have prevented this, you should have looked out for the following. And the Maharsham essentially says in a similar way that if it's something that there are certain things that even though it's a quote-unquote onis, you should have looked out for them. Like there, he says when they're matzoi, when it's frequent that certain onsin might happen, even though they're not your fault, but you should look out for them. But when we can't say that, when there's nothing that you could have done, we can't say you should have done X, and then this wouldn't have happened, so then you won't be chayiv. And that's what explains the case of, that's the pshat of Rava. Rava is saying, what he's saying is, in the case of Mebezim and Aleph, when you should have done something differently, you should have buried it underground, and if you had buried it underground, you wouldn't have been chayiv. So even though it's an onis, and you use your pater from onis, your pater from onis when there isn't a clear alternative that you should have taken, which would have prevented the onis. Here there is. You were supposed to do something else. You didn't. Therefore, it's your fault anyways. Essentially, I think that's a way of saying Chasuv Shiva Solo Onis Chayav in this perspective means that it's not really an onis. In the full
right.
sense
true
of the
true onus, right. The true onus is only when it's absolutely unpreventable.
Right.
And this is preventable.
Right. Meaning, it is an onus in the sense that it's not your fault, but it was you are chayef for a preventable onus when you should have been shomeret in a different way. That's the way. Now, does everybody hold this? So, this, I think, is one of the big points in the Sugya. I think this is actually a big machlokas between Tosfos and the Rif. Right, because one of the big arguments between Tosfos and the Rif is how you read the Gemara and Sagi Melada, which leads to the idea that there are a number of Gemaras which challenge each of these perspectives. Okay, so we have our Gemara. We'll have to explain how if you hold that you're even chayef for an onis when it is not machmas abshia, then why in the Mishnah are you putter in the case of chochma bahar or in the case of chochlika bevika?
Mm-hmm.
That's one question. But another question, I think the other big question is why on aside from the ikint is an argamara, which like kisha nachash doesn't seem to be malchus of shia. It's another question, but
it's an undermined number though.
Yeah. And another question is the big question that Mishnah asked in Sadi Gimel Amud Aleph. So if you look at the Gemara in Sadi Gimel Amud Aleph, there we have the case of the roish hayroish. Hey, might as well just read it. What's going on? Any questions so far? Clear? Not so clear? Okay. Sika codes up.
One that holds like the
none wonder. What do you mean?
Rav Soloveitchik, and when he's explaining the sugya, he puts the categories as first opinion of Tosfos that holds like the Rif, and the second opinion.
Which opinion of Tosfos holds like the Rif?
So, at the same time,
when
I'm pointing out that
Rav Soloveitchik
sees two different opinions
of Tosfos
and
deciding
what that
might
be.
Okay.
Does he maybe mean
because Tosfos
quotes Rif?
He quoted him saying that he disagreed with him right after.
Right, maybe that's what he meant.
What do you
Rif
mean?
Tosfos disagreed with Tosfos.
What regard? That you don't need to answer Tosfos?
He put categories of different opinions. He said there's Rashi's opinion, there's the first opinion in Tosfos and the Rif, and the second opinion in Tosfos.
Okay, I'd have to see on the side. I didn't see any indication from Tosfos that he used the Rif.
Yeah.
But you look at Sadi Gimel on these. So this is the big Gemara is the case of Roash Hayaroah. So Roash Hayaroah being Edru Balair, a shepherd was watching his flock and he left it and went to the city. Vaz Eiv Torah Va'arz Daras. And Orim Ibu Hayashamaya Matala, Omru also im Yakal Hatzachayim, bin Lav Pater. We don't say, hey, look, if you had been there, you would have been you would have saved them and therefore Chayim. Rather we say we make the following evaluation. If he had stayed with the flock, he could have saved them from the predators and attacked them. So then he's chayev, because had he stayed, he would have saved them. Now they left, he didn't save them, that's his fault. But if he couldn't have saved them anyway, then he is chater. So the Gemara's actually context here is, what is the responsibility of a shomer? Does a shomer need to go above and beyond, or does a shomer just need to do what's normally done? And if people normally leave, the shomer's let it leave. So the Gemara had at this point suggested that yes, if it's normal for people to leave, you know, at 3 p.m., so the shomer can leave at 3 p.m. So then the Gemara asked the following question: my lav da all the imi da ala inshi. The case must be we left at a normal time, and yet you're chayiv. In certain circumstances, you see therefore that it's not enough for a shomer to say, well, I did it was normal. No, a shomer actually has to do above and beyond what's normal and to do a tirtei yisera.
What does that mean? People just don't do their shmir for like 2 hours.
They take breaks. They take breaks. Yeah.
What do you want?
Have you ever seen sheep before? Like just like wander, yeah. So sheep just like wander around, like that's what they do. Like you don't really need to do anything to be a shepherd. Like once a year, you like gather the sheep in general, and you sell it. But like if you go to Iceland, like there's just like sheep walking around. I went to Iceland. That's all I know. There's just like sheep like wandering around everywhere. Like there's and with no one in sight. Like you could go up and like pet them. Like no one would stop you. So like it's not. Yeah, it's fine. And where? Well, I'm sure there are. Actually, my wife's cousin's job, as you know. Yeah, if you go to it, so yeah, sheep aren't like, you know, it's not like a high maintenance job. Like, you sort of like, you know, keep your eye on them. But I don't think it's so crazy. Like, oh, okay, like the sheep are okay. They're just not doing their thing. I'm going to go. You know, they just sort of walk around.
And
they eat grass.
It's a guy to guard for you.
Yeah, they can break.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like, perhaps the assumption. That he just takes a big break. I was going to say, that just knocked out the Waiyu Torah element.
Ah, it's good, it's good. Okay. You've been that before? No, it was like, look, you're being very tough on the shepherd, okay? Like, most people take breaks when they do, when they,
It also seems to be the expectation of the owner that he knows the shepherd is going to leave.
That's fair. Why should the owner then, like, give it to this guy to guard if he knows that at some point there's a chance that he'll just be...
Why should
Because that's normal.
That's done. That's what
I'm saying. Yeah, I'm saying I find that...
Look, I guess you could say, look, the owner sounds like, look, would I love him to stay there the whole time? Yeah, but look, I have to get the, you know, deal with the circumstances in front of you. The reality is that people can't sit there and watch sheep for 24 hours. They need a break every once in a while. So anyways, the point is, if you went to see the normal time, so then... that must be the case, and you see that it's not enough to say that it's normal. No, we say no. Lo da amba ad nid lo alinchi. No, we went to the abnormal time. We healthy am I punter? If so, why are you exempt? It's also a shape of so gornis. Chayim. Right? Also shia. You were negligent in that you left the sheep, let's say. And so Bonis, you know, in the end, the bear came and ate them, but it didn't have to be a bear. It could have been robbers. It could have been, you know, it could have been a dog. You could have fought off, and yet we're still a potter. So Mar says, yeah, that's a good question. There's someone called Arivaal. Okay, fine. So, no, because you heard a lion, and then you ran away. So it wasn't Shia, because you had to leave, because you didn't just take
pure onus.
Pure onus. Good. So the big question here is, many Rishonim are bothered, because most Rishonim, I should say, it's important, and it seems like we hold lots of mice also, that you do need the onus to be mamas of Shia. You're not chayav, but it's not mamas of Shia. So then how do you deal with this Gemara? This Gemara says, it sounds like, what the whole Gemara's whole point was, that we're talking about a case where, even if you were there, you wouldn't have been able to do anything. And that's when Gemara says, okay, when the bear came, you wouldn't have been able to do anything, but you were still poshe by leaving. It sounds like, since you were poshe by leaving, you should be chayav. Now, the Baal Iter actually says something interesting. That Baal Iter, he says that this is like super pshia. And that is something I wanted to get out, just in case I missed this. Maybe it's not the Baal Iter. Maybe it's someone else. But one of the reasons why. That there are some Rishonim on different categories of Shia. I think you could argue, and I think they do, that the leaving your animal is like totally like, you know, an absence of Shmira. This isn't just right? Meaning it could be that if in certain cases of Shia, then you will even be chayiv for when onus that's not machmas of Shia because you were so negligent that you're not even a shomer at this point. And you're just chayiv in everything. So the Rashba has this with shomer shemasha shomer. That shomer shemasha shomer is like super Shia. Then you're obligated no matter what happens. Even if it's the malchum avos that kills the animal. Shomer, but you know, let's say the case of he has a case of pashmi. That's the agam. That's just normal pshia. Pshia b'shmira, he calls it. Or you have you know, I think some draw the line elsewhere. If you just leave, you just let the animal go. That might be super pshia. So that's one way of answering this. I think you could say that leaving the animal is different than not watching it in the best way. You could suggest. However, Varif reads this Gemara and says, this Gemara is according to Abaye. This Gemara is according to Abaye. Abaye holds that you don't need to own this from Mamas of Shia. Here it is not Mamas of Shia. Even if you would stay there, you wouldn't have been able to fight off the lions and bears, right? Nevertheless, you are Chayiv because it's Abaye. Abaye holds you're always Chayiv. That is how Varif reads this. Yeah.
Legavi the super Shia. Why then does the Gemara use terminology for lots of Shia himself of onus?
I saw the Sefer Eder. I was wrong. It wasn't that Sefer Eder. I think I saw it maybe in the, I don't know, maybe the Rosh Hashanah. I don't know.
It's just a weird equation to me. We're saying that here is Taka really much worth Shia. Well, why would the Gemara say, but the Mandar is Chayiv?
Well, you know, it would be saying that in this type of Shia, Shia of onus, everybody holds their Chayiv.
So then why call in Chalas of Shia of onus?
It is still Chalas of Shia of onus,
I guess.
Still Chalas of Shia of onus, it's just a certain type of it.
I think you're saying the whole point is that you were supposed to defend the flock. That's your job. So the fact that you're leaving is
a great. Yeah, so that's the riff sets. Now, Tosos doesn't like that. Tosos is convinced that even a buyer holds you need the onus to Mamas of Shia. So Tosos says no. Because maybe, had you stayed, something would have happened. You would have been Mekayim, Gamasa, Dovesa, Ari, Hikam, Decha.
It's quoted by Rav Alex.
Gone and gone other shepherds. Maybe you would have taken the sheep with you and ran away. Or sorry, maybe the wolf would have seen you and been like, oh, a human, and ran away. Who knows? Something might have happened. So I think this is actually the subject of a very big dispute between the Rif and Tosfos in terms of understanding this idea of chlaso shiva sof onis chayev and the onis needing to be machmas of Shia. I think according to the Rif makes his position pretty clear. The onis needs to be machmas of Shia because you're only the pshat in chlaso shiva sof onis chayev is that since you should have had a different alternative, you should have watched it differently to guard from the Shia, and you didn't. And had you done the better alternative, you wouldn't have subjected the animal to the onis. You wouldn't have. So then we can no longer apply the Torah of onis because we can say mahavil mevai. What you should have done is done a better job watching it. If you take that perspective, suggesting that, well, maybe you would have, you know, turned into the Incredible Hulk and fought off a bunch of wild animals is not very compelling. You can't really say my hava the mebah. Because, no, even if I were there, I wouldn't have done anything. What, you're going to tell me? You're right, I should have stayed with the sheep. But if I stayed with the sheep, like, I wouldn't have stopped the bear. Just because I maybe in a crazy way could have, that's not enough to say, no, you should have done something different. There's no reason to think that shit doing something different would have actually had an impact. Therefore, to add to this, I think that the Maharshama mentioned before, and there's a few of these, where he says that you are only going to be chayiv for an onis which is matzor. It's actually the sheet that's described in the Meiri quotes that's in Baba Kama, that when we say chlaso shiv so for onis, it's only if the onis is matzor. It's something that happens frequently. Which makes sense, by the way. You could have such a thing. You have certain onsim, then they're not your fault, but they happen, right? Like, animals could get sick in certain ways. I don't know. I'm trying to remember. The case, I think, was actually I'll tell you that the case was that Reuven Shalei L'Chanan Shabagana B'Shuk, someone, Reuven is selling clothes in the marketplace. He pays Shimon to sell for him, right? To be his cashier, essentially. He needed to go back to his house. He left it a little bit open, you know, to show I'm coming back. What happens in the meantime? He he bought some clothes on account. But he's I'll pay you back when I come back from the war. Because he was going to get money in Constantinople. They impose a panel can talk back to him because he's this big important officer. He's a great man amongst the Turks. Misyarim menu hayu. They were very afraid of him. Like coming to Russia is going to buy clothes from this guy's store. Expensive beged when the guy left. Avar Mechanushal Shimov Nichnasu Ba'atzim Laka Chazar Asher Amos. He went and cut 20 Amos, which is a lot of this fabric, which is very expensive. When this guy wasn't there, Lorot Lahamtan Shigavu Shimon Kiyah Beis Nityaso. He didn't want to wait for Shimon to come back. Vashalo Nechutzah because it was very pressing for time. Atas Marharbit Shalom Nishma Meotzah Turuv Yisharim Shifkar Mechama. Essentially, what happened was Shimon left for a bit. This guy came to the store. He took all of his took this really expensive. This really expensive garment, and now he just left. We don't know if he's gonna come back, and now Reuven's off. So there's two points to make that he makes in the Shuva. One of them is that look, what would I have done? What, it wouldn't have done anything if I'd been there. The guy would have still taken the stuff. But the other point he makes is Esher Demar Miram Shilas Shiaso Bonis Chayv Hainu Beonse De Shkiach O Shkiach Velo Shkiach. He says that maybe we only say the false shear soap onus when the onus is somewhat frequent. And then you could say, look, you should have realized that this could have happened. You should have realized that this could have been possible, and that what you're doing, in a sense, makes it susceptible to that type of onis. But if you're talking about, you know, an onis that's not shkiach at all, it's totally infrequent, then we don't say it's fasur shkiach bonis. The Shach argues in this. The Shach says, no, it doesn't matter how shkiach it is, it's wrong. And, you know, based on Tosfos, I think you have a pretty good good point. Meaning, Tosfos says that if there is any pot way, any conceivable way in which we could say that had you not been poshea, you would have this would not have happened, then we'll say chayav, and that's also mamas of shia. Put it differently, and I mentioned this as during seder. I think we can sort of break down all these cases into three different components. There's the act of shia. So let's say in the case of pasha ba yotz zaga. So the first thing is that you left the fence unlocked and the animal left. That's your pshia. Then there is, in the most pure sense, the direct effect of that pshia, meaning the way that pshia makes the animal now vulnerable. Right? So what did you do? You let it out of the fence, and now the animal is vulnerable to whatever exists outside that fence. Okay? And the third thing is how it actually dies, right? So the animal ally is going to argue, how about the Agatala, the Agam killed it, okay? Now, I think when the Rif says you need the onus of mamas of shia, what he means is that the step two, direct impact of your pshia, the way in which your pshia makes this animal vulnerable, has to be related to the onus. So that in the case of Hava the Agmatala, okay, you let the animal out. It was then susceptible to all that exists outside of the pen. One of the things that exists is half of the agma. That is mahmas of shia. Even though you wouldn't necessarily assume that would happen, but it is mahmas of shia. Because Riff will say, had you done a better job, then this would not have happened. But we have other cases. In the case of let's take the case of the nachash, for instance. So you disobeyed the owner's instructions manual. You took the animal to a mountain. So your Peshitta was, bring it to the mountain. It's assuming that that is Peshitta. Now, what is the direct effect? Well, you brought it to a mountain. And the mountain is susceptible to
slipping.
Unless there's... It's not susceptible to snakes. In a, like, that's not really an impact of bringing animals to mountains in any objective sense. No, snakes, unless they are, like unless you go bring it to a snake mountain, okay, now we can talk. But if you bring them to a normal mountain, snake mountain sounds like a good ride or amusement park, right? Snake mountain. But if you bring it up to just a normal mountain, that's not relevant to bring it up to a mountain. Now, in a theoretical sense, it could be this snake was on this mountain. And therefore, maybe if you hadn't brought it to the mountain, it wouldn't have gotten bitten by a snake, because that's where the snake was. It was on this mountain. But in an objective sense, in a more global level, we don't associate snakes with, you know, mountains.
That's why
I think it's a helpful way of thinking about it. Now, why? So I think the riff makes a lot of sense. How do you understand Tosfos? Why does Tosfos think that the fact that maybe you would have been Superman and you know, beat up a bear and gotten it to go away, that would have been enough? Like, that's not really, like, what is the nature of that more possibility? So I argue, and I think it's pretty compelling, that Tosfos actually does not agree with Rabbi Reuven's Chakira. Tosfos thinks that the Mechayev is the Peshitta itself. But he disagrees the Maharal and the Itzer. Meaning he says it's not enough. You need some sort of circumstantial link between the death of the animal and the Peshitta. It has to be some way that your Maisa Peshitta specifically relates to the death. That's in the fact that it was, you know, that it's all within the confines of your Shmira isn't enough. It doesn't affect your Shmira in the way that the Maharal and the Itzer say no. But it needs to actually be connected to the ultimate death of the animal. However, but any connection suffices. If I can say that, well, your Peshitta brought about it because if you hadn't done that, maybe this wouldn't have happened. If I can come up with some way, then you're going to be chayiv, because that's enough of a connection at this point. And that's what Tosfos is arguing. And therefore, it doesn't really matter how frequency isn't the point. Because it's not about the fact that, it's not like the Maharsham said, it's not because you should have realized that maybe it's possible the way that you're doing it will lead it, you know, because you left the door half open, that someone's going to come. That's not the point. The point is that you were Poshea and then you're Chayiv. And we just need any sort of way of connecting that Shia to the actual death of the animal. And that's why the Rif and Tos was arguing on Tzadik Gimel Amud Beit. It's a fundamental argument in terms of how you explain Chasos Yosef Bonet. So, now I think that, to make a few more points, another thing that comes up is how do you explain each of these odd cases for each Shita, right? So, I think for Tosfos, who thinks that everybody holds Chasos Yosef Bonet is Chayav, Tosfos will need to explain who holds that everybody needs to be Mamas of Shia, Tosfos needs to be Tzadik Gimel. And he does. He says, well, maybe you would have been a superhuman.
Right.
And what do you do with Ayin Ches? Well, maybe, because the Nechashim if you would have brought to another mountain, there wouldn't have been Nachash there. Because the Nachash is on this mountain. And you bring it there and made it acceptable. This Nachash. That's how Tosfos reasons his Gemaras, right? Essentially, if you're the Rif, you might argue that, and this is what Tosfos suggests, that Rabba actually holds like Abaye, which leads to other options in the Mishnah, but Abaye thinks that it doesn't matter how connected the opinions are. The other question, though, is let's say you hold like Abaye, and you hold like a riff for Sabaye, or you hold like a Maharal. The Maharal actually, and when it was mentioned, the Maharal actually flips the whole thing on its head and thinks that everybody agrees that Onus is not an Imamus of Shia. Even Rava holds that the Onus is not an Imamus of Shia. And Malachamavas, Malachacham, Malachasam doesn't mean that it needs to be Imamus of Shia. It literally means that wherever the animal would be, the same thing would happen. But so long as, even if it is not Mam Sapshia, so long as it happened because it, in that place, it wouldn't have happened everywhere, then you'll be chayit. Sounds like...
For an animal dies.
What?
According to...
Yeah, that's what I was saying. If it just dies, natural death, it's like an act of God. Meaning, there are certain things that are considered beyond the confines of your Shmira. There's also another law shown in the... actually, that's that I saw in the Itter. He says... So he's saying that there's poshel in the Tirusa, right? You're being poshel b'shmira. But you can't call the Malach HaMaves part of your Nitirusa. You can't watch the Malach HaMaves. That's never part of your agreement. There's no way of guarding from such a thing. So as long as there's something that what he's arguing is, as long as it's within the confines of your Shmira, then you will be chayav regardless of whether or not it's Malach HaMaves of Shia. But if it's beyond the confines of your Shia, then it won't be. And that's how so Maharal saying Rava also agrees that needs to does it. That it doesn't need to be Mamas and Shia. He's just saying there is a certain case of Malach HaMaves, Malach HaMaves, Malach HaSam, which is sort of an exception. But how would that perspective learn our Mishnah? Mm-hmm. So we have a bunch of answers. The Ramban suggests, I think the basic answer is that, well, one answer is it's because the opposite. And it's similar to Malach HaMaves, Malach HaMaves, Malach HaSam in that case. Meaning it's one thing to say you're Chai when it's not Mamas and Shia. It's the other thing to say that when your Shia, quote unquote, should have done the opposite, the exact opposite, it should have made it less susceptible to the way that it died. I think then you could say from Mara, that breaks the Tzira. Right? You can't connect that. I did a better Shmira for this, and then it died. That this doesn't make any sense. What the Ramban says is that, again, he has the categories thing. It's not really Pshia to bring it to, even with the, you know, even according to the Gavar's first answer, we're not Boker and Meir, it's not full Pshia, because when you bring it to the mountain, you are making it more susceptible to one type of damage and less susceptible to another. So since it's not full-fledged Pshira, he says, Kia kol kia ga'adna, eino Pshira ve'eino Shmira. It's not good Shmira, it's also not. Shia hokachim sov bon, it's patrim sov amas osu shina chayim. It's almost like not, it's somewhere in the middle. It's like, you could call it tlasa b'kein g'nei v'aveda, maybe a little bit more. It just doesn't fall into the category of tlasa shia sov bonis, and therefore, that's not really relevant to our sikha. I mean, you have to still say that it is beyond just, you know, there is some guilt associated with switching it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be chayav in a case of nachash, avir, or all those things. But it's not quite pshia. And that's how they answer. Just one more thing, and then maybe we can open up to whatever other issues you guys want to restore together. I don't know if I covered everything. It's a lot in the sugya. Like, what pshia is... They're very complicated, but just in terms of patur, what is the pshat that chasu shia sof onis patur? So simple, we've been discussing chasu shia sof onis chayav the entire time, mm-hmm. And does it need to be amas of shia? Is it not need to be amas of shia? And that's all. And we had different approaches in terms of explaining that. In terms of patur, what are they hold? So the simple explanation is, it's an onis, and so the question would be, what does pshia really ever do? So I think it's important to note that even according to Mandar Chasu Shia Sorbonis Pator, Shia will still be Machayvi for certain things that are not quite onis, right? So for instance, we have a lot of Rishonim on Ayin Ches Amud Aleph who say that these things, Avir and the like, are not quite onis, they're also not quite Shia, right? Like the rush that the Tana quoted before. Also, even if you hold that let's say that back. But that's number one. But that is one way of saying it. It's onus. It's not my fault. However, it's just interesting. It could be that it's not just that onus, you're not high for onus. Maybe onus is a type of tor. Meaning, whenever you, and this is something that is in the Shita Megubetza, so he calls it the Shita. I don't know who that is. It's on the last page.
You said that before earlier, that really you should have a Ptor of Ones, just that if you were Poshe, I might remove it.
So Ptor Ones is not what I mean, right? Ptor Ones means I, as a Shomer, I'm exempt from Onsen. What I'm suggesting now, I'll find it later. What I'm suggesting now is that an Ones is Poter you in and of itself. Meaning, it's not just that Ones is sort of like something you're not high for. It's to say it like this. When you do X, Y, or Z, right, you are negligent in a certain way. Okay? So then, at that point, we don't know whether or not that the cause of the death will be relevant to the thing that you did. When the Shita says the human meds is, when it's an onis, it has been then clarified that it was not your fault. Because the onis happened. It wasn't because of my lack of shmira. It was because it was an onis, and that was poter. So it's just a different perspective on it. You look at it, find the Shemek Betz. I can show you after. I'm just fumbling around here right now. Anyways, maybe I can find it. I don't know. Oh yeah, here it is. He says, Zed Shol Shita. So, Velo Mikrib Shia Beru Legabi Havla. He's explaining the case of Havla Yom Tala, right? Again, he goes with, I think actually it's Ruv Rishonim. We say it's the middle category. It's not Klidonis like the Rosh Hashanah. It's not Shia like the Pinot Meiri. It's the middle category, not quite Shia, not Klidonis. He says, but the lo mikrib shia beruah legabi havla came to lo bar hezek havla, right? It's not that the hezek isn't clear. It's not considered. It's not clear that the havla, the amma, is something that is mazik the animal. Ella pintok pshias hayetzia talina b'chol midi ukein chalasav shia v'sobonis. Here he says it's almost like chalasav shia v'sobonis. What's the problem? The problem is, the bias whole point is that this is even according to Mond Omer Chasu Shiva Sobonis, is Patri. So he says, Ella, Kisha Baru Lanu, Shesofo Bonis, Gamor, Hare Yatza Minashia Bevada Upater. Meaning, if it's Mamish Chasu Shiva Sofo Bonis, then it was Yotze Minashia. Then it was not your negligence that led to the death of the animal. And that's why you're Patri. In this case, it's not quite clear that it wasn't your pshia. It's possible it was your pshia, and therefore your chayiv. Because of that, we can potentially we don't know whether or not it was sofo b'onis. It was not your fault. We're not sure. But k'milah has caused the pshias hetzia v'loma terino misafik. Right? I think it's important. Pshia creates a sort of chazaka in that whatever happens to the animal is now your fault because you were not a jain. Onis says it was not your fault because it was an onis. It was not the Shia. Anything in the middle, so then we assume it was because of your Shia. So that's and this, if you look at the last page of the second source, I just pointed out a bunch of our nakaminas. You have questions in Allah, like when is a shomer really become chayiv? So for instance, if the animal depreciates or appreciates in value between the time that you were negligent and the time that it died. Right? What is the halacha in such a case? Or, when's the shibun nechasav? If you have yarshin, right? So, there's a case where there's a pshia, yarshin accidentally, I'm trying to remember the case. Yeah. Basically,
the guy died before the animal.
Yeah,
died.
I think I'm trying to remember the exact case. I didn't really go over it, but if you had some sort of yerusha between Pshia and Mesa, would be the case. And you can't be yore certain chobos. So would you be chayav? Meaning that the case is the father was the shomer, not the children.
He had a heart attack, then the animal had a heart attack.
Yeah. So would you be chayiv for such a thing?
Right. Assuming right. You can't be your right to shmira.
Right. So if the case is that Or another
depends
one.
Depends on your lamdas.
Right, right. Yeah, the lamdas. If the pshat is the pshat is machayev, so you should be chayev because right. he was already chayev.
Right. And now you owe them money.
Right. If the point is the onus is machayev, so but that wasn't my pshia. And then there's another case about in hadavar yadua. What if we don't know whether or not the guy could have saved the sheep from wolves? We don't know. So the Shulchan Aruch says that if you don't know, you're chayiv. By the in terms of this question, like Sos and the Nesivos argue, the Nesiva says it's kishas etzam olam, it's pashut. Sos says it's pashut that it's kishas pshia. But I'm arguing even Tosos can hold like the Sos. So we have this machlokes. The Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch says that you pay when it's in Yadua. And the Shah says, I don't know why. First he says that we assume that you could have unless we know otherwise. That's what the Beis Yosef says is, I don't know. That's not such a good reason. No, the reason is that because you can't take a swear. Mitoshin yachal shalim. So it says no. But rather, it's because it's the chazaka. The din of tchilas b'shia is that unless we know that it was a machmas b'shia, we assume it was machmas b'shia. And again, it sort of might depend upon the effect of b'shia. Okay, so I'll leave it here. And if there's any other issues, we'll not go through.
Okay.
Tachlis.
What are we doing about the Virginia Tachlis being that there's like.